Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. Please enjoy this classic clip, which is available in full at patreon.com/Steel Wars. A quick warning, there is some occasional coarse language, so if you are around sensitive ears or are easily offended, move along to another Steel Wars episode. This is not the podcast you are looking for.
My favourite character was Han Solo, and I feel that that's probably a very common experience, because I felt he was the funniest. Like he was coolest and funniest. It's kind of unfair how cool he was.
Wait till you see The Force Awakens. He has been doing open mics at Tatooine for the past 20 years, and he's got some rapid
fire.
Just singing it. Yep.
Like the writers from ALF, the TV show, just came in and go, yeah, all of those writers, go write for Han Solo now. Because he was the wisecrackingest guy in space. I mean, come on. Like, ALF would have been a great character to work into the Lucas universe. I can't believe that never happened. Why did they never stop by Melmac, motherfuckers? That would have been great. Anyway,
the audience, you can kiss your contemporary references goodbye. How about you, Chambo?
I would say Han as well. It's either Han or the Bea Arthur character from the holiday special. It's a very fine line right there. No, I'm going to have to go with Bea Arthur. Yeah, because Han didn't sing on Life Day in a bar and pour a jug of beer down someone's head. But I am very excited about Rey. So at the minute, I would say Rey. Because, I mean, that's a childhood experience. I think it's different when you're kind of watching it as a man, but I'm grown at least. But I'm very excited about Rey and seeing where she's going to go.
What about background characters, guys? Who's your favourite?
Uncle Owen Uparu.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck were they farming?
Are you talking?
No, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed.
Are you talking Joel Edgerton, Uncle Owen?
No. Old school, original.
Flaming. Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
Ends up
Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru, Uncle Owen, like that. That gets me here. But Uncle Owen, I liked him as a character because he seemed practical in that he'd buy shitty robots and fix them up, and he had some skills. But what were they fucking farming?
Like, moisture.
What?
Moisture.
Is that literally what they were farming?
Yes.
That was not made clear enough at all. That was not... Like they were just farmers. I'm going, sell this. Sell this place. I never understood that. That makes sense. What was it for? Farming? Fucking get farming.
So about that moisture, have they ever explained that? Would that be for drinking water? Or then they what, sorry? Supply to the place. So they're drinking water, yeah. Oh, good on them. Well done.
Yeah.
Why don't they just fucking move?
I imagine they're going, planets. Have you seen Endor? Fucking heaps of water on Endor. Lush as a bitch up on Endor. What are we doing here?
That's hilarious.
It is. It does pose the question that when you go into the cantina, like, can you get a bottle of Owen Springs?
Owian.
That's really great.
But yeah, that's why he has to go and fix the evaporators. Got all those antennas, yeah. They're drawing in moisture.
Oh, just sucking moisture. Right. Well, that was never that clear to me, but that's cool. But I also, I particularly like the two of them as characters I really like too. Aunt Beru was such a long-suffering farmer's wife of a character. And I actually felt, this sounds weird, but with so much fantastic galactical shit going on, they anchored it in a human experience of not everyone's flying around shooting lasers. Some people are grinding away trying to, as it turns out, suck moisture out of a fucking desert and sell it to some rich prick in a bar in Tatooine. that's a job. You know, some people in space just had jobs. You know, like, I would like to have seen more of the construction workers building the Death Star. What were their lives like? Because what's the point of all of it? Like, you know, it always boils down to real people at the end of the day. And they, to me, were almost the only real people that got portrayed in this incredible story of other things.
Yeah. And I think that was sort of like the genius of the storytelling was that towards the start of the film, it just got lodged into this really mundane, very, pardon the pun, but just dry, boring, that for me... That not that, you know, that I had this mundane childhood, but Rosebud, you know, it is the world equivalent to Tatooine at some time.
Yeah. And your father was a moisture farmer as well, so.
Man, he was moist 24/7. He's probably moist right now. He's as moist as a Chamberlain in a video shop.
But yeah, but I think it gives the whole, like, that shitty, boring experience anchors the whole Luke experience of, that's like any kid wanting to, like, that desire to move out of a country town or move out of a suburb or, you know, move on in life in some way, have aspiration beyond what you're living in.
Yeah, because
but
like,
in the most extreme way possible.
Yeah, like, because in science fiction, especially like in Star Trek and stuff, they, like, it's a metaphor, you put problems from the everyday into a fantastic situation, and that sort of helps you relate to that situation just based without your own bias sort of thing. And it also very much helped that to show that what was happening in the second half of the film was very exciting, that what was happening to Luke in the first half of the film was mind-numbingly boring.
Yeah.
And also that he, you know, it was
the
like
most exciting thing in his life was shooting Womp Rats up in Beggars Canyon.
Yeah.
Am I right? Like that was the fucking thing to look forward to.
Yeah.
Just like which the Family Guy did point out was the first sign of a serial killer.
Yeah.
Shooting, killing animals for fun. So yeah. We should be very proud of him.
Yeah, it's like if someone in your neighbourhood like had a gun to just shoot rats at the tip, you go, yeah. I don't think he's going to save the universe.
Yeah. But Luke, he does Luke. Definitely sound like someone that would just go off to start blowing up stuff and making out with his sister.
Well, having said that, yeah. Like, he shot animals, he kissed his sister and killed his dad. So he's a real hero, real charmer.
Tonight on a very special episode of Maury.
100 men who have kissed their sister.
What about favourite scenes?
Well, I have two moments from Force Awakens. Well, the scene with Kylo and Rey when you kind of have the realization that she's got some Jedi in her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment I love watching again and again is the moment where she kind of steals the lightsaber from his reach.
Oh.
When they're dueling at the end. Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. That was like, it was so good that they managed to give us like an instant classic.
Mm,
like,
yeah.
Like that was the, like my favorite scene of all time is Luke Skywalker on the sail barge. Hey, you better let us go because I'm going to kill everyone if you don't. And Jabba's like, oh. And he goes, all right, gave you a chance. Going to do a backflip now and cut everyone that you've ever met.
Yep.
And that sort of the lightsaber catch and ignite was like, it was like, oh, you've done it again. Like the person in front of me was getting just bunted in the back of the head with my goosebumps. It was insane. Goosebumps, everyone. How about you, Charlie?
The image that's clearest in my head is... I think it's Empire... Fuck. The image that's clearest in my head is a Four Walker being tripped up and falling over, which I've found like giant slapstick. Do you know what I mean? Like when they fly around it with they trip up a Four Walker with a metal cable, and I'm like, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my fucking life. Mm-hmm. It was in Empire, and it's like all this serious shit's going on. He's carved out a beast to sleep in it. Like it's all fucked up, right? And then all of a sudden, this giant hilarious fuck. That's some big slapstick. I know that's not hugely emotional to me, but that's like understanding the universe that you've built and going, well, this funny thing can happen while all this other shit's going on.
Inadvertently, you have just dropped like the best name for like a Sepultura song is like carve out a beast and sleep in it.
Yeah.
I want that t-shirt.
It's funny because I saw that as a really young kid and I watched that happen and I thought, I'll remember that in case I need it. I was like, right, if I ever find myself in a snowstorm on a fucked up planet, I'm cutting the beast. And I'm just crawling inside. Delicious.
Whenever you're a little kid and it got under 10 degrees, you'd be like, hey, mum, where's the dog?
Yeah.
That's so weird, though, that you found that to be funny.
Because it's particularly funny because it's in amongst so much serious stuff. Like, there is an earnestness about the entire Star Wars universe where every quest is serious. And even, you know, like, C-3PO is a comic relief character, but still with a purpose and shit to do. It's still essential to this giant mission, and the stakes are so high all the time that it's the funny moments that I find so effective. It's like the Ewoks tripping up the two walkers with, like, you know, with logs. Mm. Like, that whole battle, that whole Ewok battle is probably one of my favourites also on Endor, because it's just these cool teddy bears being brutal as shit. Right, they are being, they are killers, but gorgeous. And it's like, and I love that. Like, I stuff like that, that takes you actually a little bit outside this, you know, guy on a quest. Like, if that makes sense. Like, I that's actually what I think is some of the best filmmaking of George Lucas, is where he shows he's got this comedic string to his bow. And, but it's not. No, it's never anything to do with comedy. But there's really funny moments that keep it moving along.
Yeah. We haven't seen it, but, and it's not George Lucas as such. But The Force Awakens is actually very funny. There's heaps of comedic moments. I remember the first time I saw it in the cinemas, and people were cracking up heaps.
Yeah, it's at times they might go to the well one or two too many times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was.
But probably more on purpose jokes than the other Star Wars films.
Yeah,
I mean, Jar Jar is very funny. But the they're probably more comedic moments than normal.
Yeah, but you're right about the Ewoks being, you know, beautifully vicious little animals, because what people forget is they were about to cook up Han Solo. Like,
yeah. Like, they're deeply messed up little dudes. Not messed up, they've got their way of doing things. And they're comfortable with death and they're comfortable with killing. Mm. And they live in a beautiful forest and have great parties. And they have funky outfits and they look like teddy bears. They are, I think, the most fascinating race in the universe. And I can't get enough of them. Like, they are brilliant. And I love it, particularly when they celebrate when they kill someone. Like, that is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome. Oh, anyway, it's kind of like, you know, it's, you know, Caddyshack. Like the gopher in Caddyshack. It's like, what if you got a taste for blood? And that's what I get from the Ewoks.
You, after your non-seeing of The Force Awakens, after your positive Ewok monologue, you've won me back, Charlie Pickering.
Oh, really? you were worried that I'd lost you, like I'd lost you forever. Like, you didn't think I could deep cut enough.
Yeah.
But I've won you back with some sweet Ewok
talk. Love those Ewoks.
Yeah.
There's nothing I love more.
Great. Like, so that was my big disappointment with the prequels was that there's all these Wookiees and no Ewoks. And you know, like, they were just over-Wookied it. And I'm like, I need some fucking sweet Ewok action. Where are the fucking Ewoks? Who are the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Ewoks that are everywhere? I want some cute little killers. But yeah.
Well, the story of how the Ewoks came to be was when George Lucas wrote the first Star Wars, he wrote too much. And so he had bits of Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and the prequels in the original film. And he was like, this is too much storytelling. I'll take this middle bit. And so the Wookiees in the original script were going to be the Ewoks. And it's sort of like I'm not sure if metaphor is the right thing, but it's sort of based around the Viet Cong, that like a native group who know the land can battle like a force that's got all this technology.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's like with all the log crushers and stuff like that. So then when he was like, well, I can't do that bit with the Wookiees, but I might not get to make that film. I want to have a Wookiee. So he made the Wookiee the co-pilot based off that his dog was sitting next to him in the car. So then when they went to go to make Return of the Jedi, we're like, oh, we get to do the Wookiees. But the Wookiees had already been established that they were technologically savvy. You know, he's always working on the Millennium Falcon. So we need...
And it wasn't accepted that just Chewie was... Like, it could have been just Chewie, like, became technically savvy by hanging out with... Han Solo. Do you know what I mean? Like
that
it could
sounds
have been...
quite unbelievable.
Yeah, he just did an apprenticeship on the Millennium Falcon, and I can see that. I think
he just got into a really sweet TAFE at Endor.
Yeah, that's right.
But also the logic of the prequels, when you look at it, when they have the Wookiee battle, they have quite advanced technology, so therefore they are an advanced people. It's
just done backwards.
And so there's a bit of wordplay in there because you've got Wookiee, cut him in half, Ewok, swivel it around.
I find them. Like, I felt more about the... Like, there's... the parts where Ewoks die in the battle, like, when they get hurt, I'm the most moved by them. And not just because they're gorgeous. It's because they are the smallest and most vulnerable people that will take up arms and fight against evil. Mm. And their deaths are as noble as anyone else's in... Like, in any of the stories.
Some might argue more noble.
Possibly, yeah. A lot of Ewok pride here today.
To hear the full episode, along with hundreds of hours of bonus content, I would invite you to check out the Steel Wars Patreon page at patreon.com/Steel Wars. For just $3 a month, you get a dedicated RSS feed that easily pastes into any podcast app you use, sending the complete archives of Steel Wars episodes along with bonus Patreon exclusives like movie commentaries, Q&As, and shows like the Making Steel Wars show, which I make exclusively for Patreon members with Jason Ward of MakingStarWars.net, where we try to find the news behind the news. Plus, you'll get the bonus segments from the call-in shows, which sometimes can be over an hour. And as well as all the bonus content, you get that warm glow that you are supporting this show you listen to each week. The idea behind Patreon is if lots of people chip in a little bit of cash, that content producers such as myself can still keep producing for you guys while still being able to feed our very cute Ewok-looking cats. There's a hungry cat involved in this, guys! As well as some sweet, sweet content. Check out all the super fun tiers and all the shows you're missing out on at patreon.com/Steel Wars. And may that force be with you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.